Hello everyone and welcome to the AstroPH Daily Review podcast by Mikhail Lisakov, episode 17. Today is still 2020, November 18th, and today we're coming back to a good recent story, and it is already part 3, The Return of the Phosphine. So, this is an article by Jane Greaves with co-authors, and it is entitled Reanalysis of Phosphine in Venus's Clouds. And this is basically an answer to a critical article by Villanueva and co-authors, which I have already reviewed in episode 3. So check it out if you have missed it. Let's read the abstract first, as usual. We first respond to two points raised by Villanueva with co-authors. We show the JCMT discovery spectrum of phosphine cannot be reattributed to SO2, as the line width is larger than observed for SO2 features, and the required abundance would be an extreme outlier. The JCMT spectrum is also consistent with our simple model, constant phosphine abundance with altitude, with no discrepancy in line profile. Reconciliation with a full photochemical model is the subject of future work. Section 2 presents initial results from reprocessed ALMA data. Villanueva with co-authors noted an issue with bandpass calibration. They have worked on a partially reprocessed subset of the ALMA data, so we know where their conclusions and those of Greaves with co-authors are now superseded. To summarize, we tentatively recover phosphine in Venus's atmosphere with ALMA at 5 sigma level. Localized abundance appears to peak at 5 parts per billion, with suggestions of spatial variation. Advanced data products suggest a planet average phosphine abundance 1 part per billion, 7 times lower than from the earlier ALMA processing. The ALMA data are reconcilable with the JCMT detection if there is order of magnitude temporal variation. More advanced processing of the JCMT data is underway to check methods. Independent phosphine measurements suggest possible altitude dependent. The first issue discussed by the authors is that SO2 might be incorrectly attributed to phosphine because these two lines are only 1.3 kilometers per second apart from each other and both should be several kilometers per second wide. Nevertheless, the authors claim that they have measured centroid positions of these lines with a precision as good as 0.3 kilometers per second, and there is no room for mixing these lines. It is also noted that to explain the probable phosphine line with the SO2, it would require an outstanding abundance of SO2, which was never observed at millimeter wavelength. And more importantly, this very high level should be sustained over a week of observations, while it usually could vary on timescales of hours to days. And finally, the tentative phosphine line has a full width at half maximum of at least 8 kilometers per second, while typical width of the SO2 line observed in Venus' atmosphere is less than 3 kilometers per second. Another point discussed by the authors is the critique of their ALMA processing. The authors admit that there was an issue in the calibration pipeline, which was mainly due to a non-standard bandpass calibrator. For that purpose, the authors used Jupiter's moon Callisto instead of quasars that are normally used. And this caused the model to be used incorrectly, and it set the flux scale too high, and also introduced severe bandpass ripples. Both these issues are now mitigated by using an advanced and corrected calibration pipeline. And as I understood, the authors are planning to present the full set of their new results in a future publication. Also, apparently, the original paper and the paper by Villanueva with co-authors used basically different sets of data, because in the original paper, they have omitted baselines shorter than 33 meters since they were substantially noisier. Also, the authors explain their choice of 12th order of polynomial to describe the spectrum. The choice of the maximum power is dictated by the number of changes of direction in the spectrum. And they also put some critique of the critique and claim that in Villanueva's paper, the correct order should be 8 because they have 7 of such a turnovers in the spectrum. But in the case of the original paper, the 12th order is totally justified. But anyway, the phosphine line is 7 times weaker in comparison to the original paper when the whole Venus is considered. And the authors attempted to find a place on the Venus with higher phosphine abundances. And in this analysis, I think they simply shoot in their leg. Because in the spectrum that they have presented, there is a clear one-channel peak approximately at the position of the SO2 line, with amplitude twice as high as that of their phosphine line. And I think with this spectrum, some new critical publications could appear. So there might be several new chapters in this story. But the final chapter would be written when the authors, as they plan, will apply all their experience to new observations of Venus with ALMA in 2021 or 2022. We are all looking forward to see the final results and can just wish good weather for their observations. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.